Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Adam and Eve had it made under the shade of the tree of life, the garden into which man and woman were placed was the house of the Lord. This in and of itself is a gracious act. Confirmation students might write this down as gospel. Catch that? Yes. Man and woman were made and formed outside of the garden, but they were not made to be separated from God. Man was actually made to receive the grace and love of his Creator. For love to be love, love has to have an object outside of itself. Hence, God made man, and the man was the object of his love. The man and woman were made to live with him. The Lord was to dwell in their midst, so man brought them into his. They had the Lord, their Creator, before them in their very eyes every single day. And at the end of the first week, on the day of rest, God declared all that he had made to be very, very good. So also male and female were declared to be very good. The man and the woman were naked and knew no shame. What was deemed good and what the man and the woman enjoyed, however, was soon taken away, taken from them in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. All that was called good was corrupted and set on the trajectory of death. Life, which was pleasant and very good, was now comparable to a dumpster fire, probably downtown Indianapolis. Satan, that ancient deceiver, took the form of the serpent and spoke to Eve and got her to believe his words. And in doing so, she stopped believing God's word and ate of the tree which God forbid Adam and Eve to eat, lest they die. One has to wonder, where was Adam? Well, the text tells you. He was silent, standing right by. It doesn't take much for man to forget the word of God, hence why we need to continue to read, mark, and inwardly digest it. We do not grow beyond the need to hear the word of God again and again. If we are not being filled with the word of God, our faith does not grow, and if our faith does not grow, it dies. We easily turn then to the words of Satan, which seem to be appealing, but those words lead to death. Beware. Take to yourselves now and always the word of God and bind it to your very heart. Cling to it, for your very lives depend upon it. Spiritually, the man and his wife died that day. They were no match for the deceitful words of Satan, the first murderer, who was a murderer from the beginning, as we learned from Jesus. Man and woman could not stand up and defend themselves against the onslaught of Satan's attack. They could not debate him and win. He was too strong and too educated for that. And so that dust from the ground that was formed into the image of God lost that image. And the image of God was replaced with the image of shame and self-aggrandizement. Their hearts, which were once innocent, immediately knew that they were in big trouble. What was once a nice walk in face-to-face being with God had turned into a very terrifying thing. So terrifying, in fact, that Adam and Eve attempt to cover themselves in two different ways. First, they covered their nakedness with fig leaves. They also attempted to cover themselves by hiding themselves from their Creator. And when found by the Lord, they begin to argue against one another, with Adam and his wife making the egregious claim that it was ultimately God's fault for their fall. It was you who gave me the woman. Well, it was the serpent that you made that got me to take the fruit. So it's your fault, God. Does that sound like some of our own arguments? It's not my hand that caused the sin, but you're the one who gave me the hand. No match for Satan, and certainly no match for their Creator. Adam and Eve were caught dead to rights, no longer living under the freedom of their loving and merciful Creator, but now they are slaves of the deceiver, who promised knowledge of good and evil to them. Adam and Eve, up to this point, had known only good, but now they would know bad. And the bad would be really bad. The bad meant they could no longer be in the presence of God and live. The bad meant being tossed out from the garden. They were no longer welcome in the house of God. They were excluded from the tree of life, something that God desires all men to enjoy for their benefit. Adam and Eve were the first people denied communion with God. God closed the rail in order that Adam and Eve would not eat of the tree of life, and their sin remained forever attached to them. You see, God disciplines those whom He loves so that they would be brought to repentance and believe in His rich mercy, that there is forgiveness through the promised seed of the woman. But there are earthly consequences for sin. And some are felt much more than others in this world. The bad was very bad, as I said before. Pain in childbirth for mothers. The pain of not being able to have children for those who desired them. Pain and heartache when it comes to parenting and raising a child to adulthood. Husbands now domineering over their wives, and wives desiring their husband's authority. Love and respect for each other would be lost. And since the image of God, and thus His character to love, also lost, the ability to love something other than oneself was lost too. That ability only comes perfectly from the knowledge of the love shown to us by the triune God. The Father, you see, sends the eternally begotten Son into the world to be the world's Redeemer. This love of God is displayed in the Son's work at the cross for you and for me. We sang about that love in our opening hymn for the day. We know God's love in this manner, in this way God loved us. His Son's death on the cross. Power would be sought after. Pain and injury would result. Man was and still is responsible for the way this world works today. Our food comes at a high cost, much toil for the farmer, because sometimes the field yields more thistles than beans. And ultimately, the bad made itself known in death. That is the final paycheck of sin. The wages of sin is death. Death, separated from loved ones. But most importantly, separation from God was the worst bad of all. Man now knew bad. But knowing that man and woman had been cursed was not going to be the final word from the Lord. The first and now old Adam had messed up royally. The first and old Adam took the bait of Satan and swallowed the desirable but deadly fruit. But God promised a new seed to come from the woman. A singular seed of the woman would come. He would come and would fight against the old satanic foe on behalf of the old dead Adam. And these battles are seen throughout the entirety of Scripture. But perhaps the most entertaining for our eyes might be the one that we have before us from Matthew's chapter 4 today. Let me paint the picture a bit and give you some more context. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. There, the Father speaks of Jesus allowing others to hear who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. The words from the final verse of chapter 3 have the Father speaking to all, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And the fourth chapter picks up with, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." The words of the Father are exactly the words that Satan uses in an attempt to make Jesus doubt his Father. "This is my beloved Son, if you are the Son of God." Satan will attack you using a twisted version of the Word of God. For Jesus, he adds "if." The addition of the word "if" to the front of any sentence makes that sentence a conditional statement. What was once a certain statement, "You are my son," now has been made uncertain, "if you are the Son of God." Let's go back to Adam and Eve. Their certain statement from God was this, "I love you so much that you have everything you need in the garden, including me for life." Satan effectively then twisted that certain statement into, "If God really loves you, he would let you eat from every single tree of the garden, even this one in the middle. He's holding out on you if he doesn't." And so doubt crept in for the old Adam and Eve, and they fell. But not so with this new one, the new Adam, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who is of the same essence of the Father. The seed of the woman will not fall for Satan's lies. He goes to the battlefield for you, to the wilderness, to stand in your place there confronting the devil, and does what the old Adam and you cannot do. While the old Adam failed and died, this new Adam defeats the temptations of the devils there. Skipping ahead, we can see this battle on full display again the night that he was betrayed, handed over to sinners, and then nailed to the cross to die. And when he says, "It is finished," the battle is done. Sing, my tongue, the glorious battle. Sing the ending of the fray. The fight is done, the battle won. And Christ ascends to proclaim his victory. He holds the keys and power of death. He holds that field forever. Christ, the new Adam, the promised seed of the woman, does what you and I cannot. He overcomes Satan, and he does it for you. You, like Adam and Eve, doubt the Lord and his love and his word for you. You get caught up with conditional statements. If I do this, then God will love me. If I give a lot of money to the poor, then I'll get my reward. Or something like that. Satan really likes when we do this sort of thing. He makes his life or his work a little bit easier. We're doing it to ourselves. Because we either think we actually have earned something from God and become self-righteous and thus falsely believe and will be proven wrong in the end, or we fall into utter despair and give up on God altogether because we can't live up to the requirements of that conditional law statement. So where does that leave us? It leaves us here. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, a poor, sinful, broken human being. I am sinful and ashamed of my sin, just like Adam and Eve. Lord, have mercy and help. brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord, he has heard your pleas for mercy. You are for whom Christ came, and by Christ's atoning death, you were made alive and are alive. You have received this life of Christ at your holy baptism. All that was made bad after the fall has been made right by Christ's coming into the world, and you are thus united to him who has made it all right. By baptism, you are united to the very body of Christ. You then share with Christ in his death and his cross, but you also share in his glorious resurrection. Satan cannot take you from the Lord's hand as much as he may try. Satan may scowl fierce as he will, but he can harm you none. He's done. The deed is done. Christ has taken into himself your suffering, your sin, and your shame. Christ has taken Satan's best punch and has overcome them all for you and for me. Yes, our Lord is bruised, giving himself up to death, only in order to crush Satan once and for all, in order that you might know the Lord and the goodness of the Lord once again. And you know God to be good as Christ gives you that fruit, the victory that he has won for you through holy baptism, the blessed absolution, the sacrament of his body and blood. Knowing God as good is knowing that you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who fights for you. And not only does he fight for you, but he's already won. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.